It's time to try something a little different. It seems like people didn't really like the scripted format, and I didn't really have a vignette for today's episode anyway, so we're gonna go off the cuff. Just my knowledge to your ears. Today we're gonna be talking about aspects. Aspects in astrology refers to the position of one planet or mathematical point to another. The five main aspects are conjunctions, oppositions, squares, sextiles, and trines. Conjunctions, squares, and oppositions are considered hard aspects, while sextiles and trines are considered harmonious aspects. Now, I know that sounds pretty black and white, but when it comes to hard aspects, they don't necessarily mean hard as in our experience of them is universally going to be challenging, but they're talking more about hard as in hardware. Like, these are aspects that have tangible effects. The effects of conjunctions can be very easy to notice. For example, a planet within 15 degrees of the sun in a conjunction will be considered under the beams and thus somewhat weakened relative to its normal state in the house and sign in question. And if it's within 8 degrees of the sun, it's considered combust, which is a very weakened state. The most extreme examples of solar conjunctions are obviously solar eclipses and kazimis, but those are both other episodes. Generally speaking, however, conjunctions are aspects where the planets will be working together in a noticeable way and making choices about whatever area of your life the house and sign they occupy is in charge of. For example, with Jupiter conjunct the ascendant, you might be very good at teaching yourself things. Oppositions can be very challenging. This is the energy of one planet directly clashing with the other. They both want completely opposite things. For example, one of my clients has Chiron, Mars, and Pluto all opposition Venus. They've had very hard times in relationships, just very intense challenges in that area. But obviously, and this goes for every aspect discussed on its own terms, if you look at your own chart and see this, don't panic. Every chart has to be considered in its entirety, and there may be like mitigating factors that I wouldn't think to bring up and talk about right here in this episode that would apply to you and mean that you will have a more harmonious time in relationships than another person who has these placements. A square is when the planets or points are 90 degrees from each other. Squares are not always conflicting, but they are still hard aspects in the sense that they tend to manifest in tangible ways that you will notice. For example, my natal Mercury squares my natal Uranus fairly closely, and I like to think that's responsible for my very rare, surprising bursts of genius. Now let's move on to the harmonious aspects. These are when planets can quote-unquote see each other. That's how the ancient authors put it. But the aspects aren't especially tense, and thus are a bit more relaxed and more likely to either manifest in subtle ways or manifest more internally. Sextiles, for example, are considered the weakest aspect. These are when the points in question are 60 degrees apart, or 1/6 of the zodiac. And that's a handy mnemonic for remembering aspects, actually. Oppositions are obvious when you look at a chart, you can see who's in opposite signs. But when it comes to squares, if you have four planets and they're all 90 degrees away from each other, you've drawn a complete square. Sextiles are so named because you can fit six of them in the zodiac, and trines because you can fit three. In terms of effects, sextiles are, like I said, considered the weakest, But you may still notice some of the effects of one planet on the other planet, which it sextiles. It's just that it may be something that you consider a bit of a non-issue. Something that usually goes smoothly for you, maybe. Trines, however, imply planets that are actively working in harmony with each other. At 120 degrees, they have a good view of one another, so to speak. And so can pretty easily cooperate with each other to manifest the way that they want to in your life. After the planet's positions in houses and signs, aspects are the very next thing that you should be looking at. The points of placement along the zodiac are extremely important, but understanding how the planets are working with and against each other is crucial. Now, so as not to disappoint one of my heroes, Rick Levine, I am going to briefly touch on what many people would call minor aspects, but I'm going to agree with Rick here that we should call them something else. He calls them quantum aspects. And while I will admit that I don't pay much attention to them in my own practice, and thus I could consider them minor aspects myself, I would consider it a little bit hubristic, if you will, to try to say anything the planets are trying to tell us is minor. Now, there are all kinds of quantum aspects, as I'm going to call them. There's semi-squares, sesquisquares, which is a square and a half. Basically, I don't really pay attention to these unless the degrees are pretty much exact. Because, for example, there's even a quantum aspect for an inconjunction, which to ancient astrologers was when these planets were explicitly not aspecting each other in any way at all. And if we're going to use like a really huge orb for something like that, then all the planets are aspecting each other at all times, and it seems to me that things could get muddy that way. Which is why I don't tend to use them unless there seems to be something missing from the ordinary reading of the chart. In general, quantum aspects are aspects that will manifest more subtly or psychologically. However, semi-squares, which is 45 degrees, half a square, are said to be even more tense than regular squares, and thus even more likely to manifest in a very in-your-face type of way. Quantum aspects can also be friction or cooperation that builds subtly and slowly over time between the two planets. For example, if you and your partner have, like, personal planets that are in a sesquiquadrate, a square and a half, to each other in a really close aspect, then this may be something that doesn't seem like a major incompatibility at first, but will gradually build up your frustration about it over time. And of course, this can also work in a positive direction, which is an important thing to remember about astrology in general. I don't consider myself overly optimistic, because to do that, you'd have to ignore the fact that some people really do meet with a terrible fate. However, when it comes to looking at a chart and trying to predict the future, we will get caught up in our own biases and start to project what we think is going to happen onto those placements. Sometimes our attempts to avoid disappointment by predicting disasters in advance just winds up ruining our present instead. Sometimes a chart that looks really gnarly on paper is just a failure of imagination on our part, and there's something we're not noticing that changes the entire picture. I will admit that I've done this more than once while watching transits for people important to me. At the end of the day, astrology is a gift from the universe to tell those who want to know what to be prepared for and when. And depending on the technique, this can go just as well for the best moments of your life as it can for your next traffic jam. When it comes to a chart that looks bad, the key word is prepare, not panic. And if it looks like your wedding day or the day you make your billionth dollar, expect the best, but also don't be disappointed if those things manifest on a bit of a smaller scale and you just get a nice quiet night in. Now, before we go, I want to mention that I am moving to a bi-weekly release schedule. This is because fall is my busy season, spooky boy that I am. But the series will go on. Today's song is Circadian Rhythm by Silver Sun Pickups.